Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's now time for News Headlines with Molly on the Big Party Show on Channel 94.1.
The most powerful Atlantic storm in recorded history has started lashing parts of the Caribbean. It's making its way toward Florida. Hurricane Irma is considered a Category 5 storm, and it has sustained winds as high as 185 miles an hour. It's moving across St. Bart's and St. Martin in the Caribbean. It just rolled over Barbuda this morning. It's remaining a Category 5. The top winds, like I said, were 185 miles an hour. Hurricane warnings remain in effect throughout the region. The storm is heading toward Puerto Rico and potentially Florida. So they're keeping an eye on everything and finding out which path it takes. You know, they're trying to sort of do these computer models to figure out, will it hit Florida and the Florida Keys directly, or will it veer either to the west or the east? Now, if no matter what, the Florida Keys are under mandatory evacuation, getting out ahead of the hurricane. I guess they've told tourists to start leaving the state's southernmost island chain starting this morning, and residents are asked to begin packing up and heading for the mainland starting tonight.
What a disaster.
Get out. Yeah.
My cousin's, his mother-in-law just moved into her new home 3 days ago.
Down in, oh really? Oh, geez. That
yeah.
sucks.
Just had it built.
Oh, my.
You know, a new home. Three days ago, and they're, you know, and they got to decide, do we get, you know, where do we go? I can't believe just how quickly it's going to put Harvey, like, in the rear view, in the memory.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, we ever had two this close together?
I don't think we have. But this Irma one is one of the, it's one of the top strongest hurricanes
out there.
I saw we're ranked in there. They do it by the wind strength, 185. There was one more that was 190. But yeah, this thing is bad.
It's the strongest Atlantic hurricane ever recorded north of the Caribbean and east of the Gulf of Mexico.
That's pretty big.
One of the headlines was that it's setting off the seismometers, the earthquake detectors on some of those islands.
Yeah.
Whether that's ever happened before, they're like, but that's kind of freaky. They're saying
because
of
the winds?
It's beating on the waves and how hard they're hitting the beaches that it's, you know, the things that detect earthquakes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're saying that, you know, because Dominican Republic and all that stuff is mountainous, that could bring it down a little bit before it hits to Florida. So I guess we'll see. Wow. Sunday, right, is when they're saying Sunday?
Saturday and Sunday is when they're looking at it possibly hitting. Now, if it hits Florida, it could be coming from south to north. So it would start off in the Florida Keys and then head up through the through the peninsula up into like Miami. Now, they're also talking about the fact that, you know, by the time it hits there, it could be a Category 3, which is obviously less than it is now, but still quite a strong hurricane for that area of the country.
You know what's nutty is all these environmental deals are having an effect on football. I mean, I know it's not the most important thing, but there's NFL games and college games that will have to be moved or postponed in Florida, and the wildfires in the Northwest are affecting possibly the Oregon-Nebraska game and the Oregon State-Minnesota game, two college football games,
so
because of the air quality, because of all the wildfires. It's just weird.
Yeah, Mother Nature, boy.
Mother Nature is
mad.
Stomping her foot.
Yeah,
this has been a very active season. Now, Hurricane Harvey, obviously, that's completed, and now it's all about recovery. We talked about it in Celebrity, but there is going to be a telethon airing next Tuesday, September 12th, 7 o'clock, and it's going to be, you know, airing live for an hour from LA, New York, Nashville, and it's got all the big celebrities coming out to try to raise money. But it's going to be interesting because that'll just be a couple days after Irma will have done whatever it's going to do in the Caribbean or possibly, you know, the Gulf or the Atlantic. If Congress doesn't pass legislation to protect young illegal immigrants from deportation, President Trump says he'll, quote, revisit DACA. The Trump administration yesterday announced that it will end the program that protects some 800,000 people brought to the U.S. illegally as children. There's a six-month delay in the end of the program to give Congress time to reenact a permanent solution.
He's kind of trying to roll back what Obama did. So in the Obama administration founded this policy in 2012. Mm-hmm. And it DACA stands for Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. So illegal immigrants who entered the country as minors can receive a renewable two-year period of deferred action from deportation and eligibility for a work permit. This is Trump like rolling it back saying, no, Congress has got to write the bill. It can't be an executive action.
Okay.
So he's rolling it out to them. You guys come up with a bill.
And then bring it back.
Right.
Okay.
So they've got six months to get that into. But I mean, I guess talking points have already been, there's talking points, a document, a talking points document from the White House that is telling recipients of the DACA program to make plans. I guess it was distributed by the Trump administration yesterday, and it's urging those children of immigrants to, quote, prepare for and arrange for their departure from the United States in 6 months if Congress doesn't pass something. So this is something that's front of mind for a lot of families. The work to repair the runway at Offutt Air Force Base is set to begin late next year. It will replace all the damaged concrete on the runway, and it'll take a full year with a new price tag of $100 million. But the change will mean that the runway will be usable for the next 20 years instead of just for 10. And the NFL is upholding the six-game suspension against Dallas Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott. Multiple reports say that because of the timing of the ruling, he'll still be allowed to play Sunday night's season opener against the New York Giants at AT&T Stadium. Elliott was suspended six games for violating the league's personal conduct policy. That followed a 13-month investigation into domestic violence charges by his former girlfriend. And two U.S. universities are near the top of the latest world college rankings. Stanford and Caltech are tied for third. It would appear Britain's Oxford University holds the top spot. It won last year, and its neighbor, Cambridge in the U.K., is second. Caltech fell to the third place tie with Stanford after ranking second last year. MIT is fifth, followed by Harvard, Princeton, Imperial College in London, and the University of Chicago. So a lot of American universities made the international list, but we lost our second place standing. And it's an expensive lesson for one unruly passenger who now has to pay an airline nearly $100,000 because his antics forced the plane to turn around.
Now, what happened? I saw this and I was like, sweet.
I guess he was interfering. It was a flight from, I guess it was a Honolulu to New York flight.
Okay.
And they say he threatened his girlfriend, passengers and crew members. So he got, you know, a little, excitable, started making some threats. He was given 3 months probation and the fine to cover the airline's cost of fuel and other incidentals, like paying to find passengers, other flights on other carriers.
What a disaster, because they're over the ocean. So what they have to do? They had to turn around?
Yeah, it's like a whole mess, and then they have to like rebook everybody.
Could you imagine that? You had to turn around and go back to Honolulu? How many hours in were they?
I don't know. That's a long flight. I mean, that's like flying to Europe.
It's usually drunk people. These people are going to make it, so they're going to ban alcohol on planes. I'm telling you.
Yeah, right. It seems like most of it's alcohol related.
Yeah, this guy was hammered. You know? Oh, geez. He was drinking before the flight, tried to order more alcohol on the plane, and then drank some he personally brought aboard.
Oh, that's always a big no-no.
I know that you do that, and Party does it, and I heard it on the last flight for the first time. I've never done that before. I'm not judging you.
Yeah.
That you bring on your little airplane bottles, but I've never heard this on that flight. They said, reminder, it is illegal to drink alcohol.
I didn't know that.
It said it was a federal like crime.
Yeah. It's illegal to do that.
But I think they said federal. Like they were trying to go, do not do that.
Yeah. I don't know.
They take it pretty serious because they're, you know, it's on them to monitor.
Money. They want
to
make their money. That's why.
I mean,
they also want to regulate.
Yeah.
Like a bartender, they want to regulate your drinking. If it was BYOB, I can bring on a pony keg.
No, you can't.
We just got to be ham boned. No, but I'm saying they're limiting. You could still bring on a bag of 30 bottles of your tiny bottles and get complete, you know. That's what they're mainly doing. Yes, obviously they apparently can't get rid of booze because I think they know that people are stressed.
You need it for relaxation.
And some people wouldn't fly.
Yeah, they need
it. But man, in a culture that restricts everything else, it's like, I can't believe we put up with...
That's next. Yeah, I mean, airlines.
These morons who lose on a plane.
What's the longest flight you've gone on in recent memory?
I've done Hawaii. That's probably the longest I've ever done.
Okay.
In Germany. I don't know how long that's probably the longest I've
ever
done.
I'm just saying, like, in recent, you know, I'm just curious. The flights that I've taken have mostly been like an hour or two. Like, you maybe get a drink. I mean, you certainly, you know, I mean, cramming two in would be even something. I'm just wondering on these longer flights, like, when do they start capping you off?
I don't know. I've never gotten to that. I've been down to
You've never found your limit. You've never hit the ceiling.
No, not yet.
I'm not asking for it.
The stewardess is like, he's insatiable.
He's carrying his own bottle. He just keeps ordering Coke, but he's acting weirder and weirder. It's because he's got his...
I didn't know. I won't do it again. I had no idea.
I had never heard that rule either.
Yeah.
That must be something that they're pushing out there
she
now.
She was mad, boy.
Oh, the stewardess?
Oh, yes.
Oh, you got caught.
Oh, she found it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, yeah. She's like, we're... Because there was an empty bottle. Sitting there.
Oh. Like you're drinking in a movie theater.
Yeah.
Or under your seat.
I went to throw it away and she's like, what is this? Where'd you get this? I'm like, I brought it with me. And she's like, you can't do that. I'm like, hey, woman.
You're off brand. What was the bottle of?
I was a bottle of the vodka. Just a little bottle of the vodka.
The vodka.
Did it have a brand?
Yeah, it's Smirnoff or whatever. Yeah. Or Tito's, one or the other. But she, you know, they pour it there and then give it to you.
They give you the cup and the bottle. Yeah.
But I'm sure she was like, here's what I remember, sir, not ever giving you any little bottles.
That's exactly what it was. Yeah. And I'm like, mind your own P's and Q's.
And she's like, oh, okay, $100,000 fine later.
Yeah.
Federal prison sentence.
I have no problem with them slapping these people with these. Like, if we all had to turn around, because it's a post...
Oh, that's
9/11 thing. Somebody gets unruly, and now you're landing in Oklahoma City.
Well, I haven't seen anyone completely annihilated. Now, this guy was starting to fight with his girlfriend, you said, Molly?
He was getting unruly with his girlfriend, with the crew member, his fellow passenger. I mean, it was an absolute mess.
I think he was
just all sorts all over the place.
That's a big fine. Wow.
So, virtually all the world's tap water... has microscopic plastic fibers. There are new concerns being raised about the implication of rampant plastic pollution on human and planetary health. They say 80... I know, you're welcome. Congratulations. They say 83% of the world's tap water has these fibers found. That plastic contamination is almost universal here in the U.S. They said that 94% of all U.S. water samples, including the EPA's headquarters...
It's microscopic, so it can't be filtered out.
Right. So they're wondering, what they say is that it's those synthetic fibers from clothing, like tire dust, like all this kind of stuff. You know, we wash our clothes and they've got those microscopic fibers. And then, you know, obviously the spin cycle, it gets flushed out. And then that never, ever gets like completely taken out of the water supply. Like, we're not tasting it. We don't see it. But they're wondering what the long-term health effects will be.
Does it just go through us? Does it start lining our...
Right. Like, I mean, part of it, you know, most of it is like a non-biodegradable type of, you know, plastic. So they're kind of wondering, like, well, what are the long-term effects of exposure to this? I'd read something about this recently in regards to the laundry. Like, they were talking about, do you have a filter on your... the laundry when you're doing the spin cycle and it flushes all the water out. And I'm like, no. And they're like, well, you might want to think about it because of all the fibers. And I'm like, what fibers?
That's going into the water?
Yeah, you're like, oh, those fibers. So it's just kind of something that they're now taking a look at. But I mean, the water supply is clean. It's just there are these little
stuff in it. Yeah.
There's just little microscopic. It's not gonna make you sick. It's just a matter of like, what will it do?
Omaha's number one hit music station, Channel 94.1.
The Big Party Morning Show.
Hey Brian, what's up?
I just wanted to comment on that thing you were talking about with the booze on the airplane.
Okay. Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize it, but like it's the same case when you go to put it in your car and you go to cross state lines with it, it becomes a trafficking event, which would be why it is a federal no-no.
Okay.
Hmm.
I guess I never thought of that either.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I just figured it would had to do with the fact that they were like, hey.
Like, we've all taken booze over state lines with none of us ever feeling
like we're breaking the law.
It probably does a little bit, but in terms of, like, when they were talking about it being some federal offense, that would be because, in the terms of law, you're transporting it across state lines.
Okay.
But from their standpoint, they're also losing money.
Yeah.
From you paying for the beer on the plane, so it's kind of a double-edged sword.
I guarantee their main concern is not being able to monitor how much you're drinking.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
you know.
It's so freaky.
They want to be able
like
to cut you off.
It's like a ticking time bomb. The guy back there just keeps loading up bottles.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole crazy thing about these places like juice bars that I've always thought. And we're pro-drinking, but the whole point of a bar is that bartender is the governor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're you have to go, monitor. Can I have another one? And there's an important aspect. I always feel bartenders that get charged when some guy stumbles out drunk and does something bad.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a little bit of a gray area that people deserve personal responsibility.
Yes.
But a bartender can go, you know what, buddy?
You're overserved.
I'm cutting you off.
Right.
Yeah. And that's kind of what, sadly, these stewardesses have to do.
I know.
Except then you're trapped in a room with them. I mean, at least when you cut somebody off at a bar, they're like, fine. And then they can
walk out. I'm leaving.
But you do something like that and somebody decides to get all jerky about it.
Then
it's stuck in a tube in the air with some guy that or gal that's really upset that you aren't going to be serving them anymore. That's got to just
suck. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No one likes to be told that you're too drunk. No,
I know, it's the rare person that's like, you know, I mean, because every once in a while somebody's told that and then they're like humiliated, you know what I mean? And then they just quietly sulk or they take, you know, personal stock in the fact that they're publicly drunk and they feel embarrassed about it.
Yeah.
But that's maybe 50% of the time. The other 50% of the time you have the person who feels indignant that they have not been overserved. And how dare you accuse them of not being able to handle their liquor?
That's me.
I want to see the captain.
Like, well, the captain.
They're flying the plane. This is just another indication that you're obviously drunk when you're asking to see the captain.
Yes, I think so.
I want to see the captain.
Hey, man, thanks for calling, but we appreciate your call.
There you go.
All right, see you later.
Yeah, so I had never heard the announcement on a plane before.
Yeah.
This recent flight, they were like, do not... You cannot drink alcohol that you brought on the plane.
That you brought on a plane. Yeah, I've never heard that either. Hello, who's this? What's your name?
This is Carrie.
Hi, Carrie. What do you got?
Yeah, so I was going to comment about the plane incident with people being drunk.
Mm-hmm.
So my husband and I were on our way back from a flight from Europe, and we were on our way back to Kansas City, and the stewardess noticed that one of the individuals on the plane was very drunk. And multiple times they were asking, like, hey, is this going to be a problem? Because he automatically got on and ordered another drink, and they refused to serve him. So ultimately, the ending of this story is that he was removed from the flight before it even took off because they were able to catch it ahead of time. And thankfully, because we were really worried because he was right behind us.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, that's nerve-wracking.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So they got him before you guys even took off.
Yeah, no, as soon as they noticed that he was trying to get a drink, they're like, no, sir, we're not going to serve you. He sulked in his seat. And then the male stewardess came over and like, is this going to be a problem? He told him yes. And so they went ahead and just removed him from the plane.
At least, you know, points for honesty. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know what? Actually, this is going to be a problem. I'm not going to pretend like I'm going to play nice. They're like, okay, well, then there we go.
You may
then
leave now.
There's no chance you're getting on.
Oh, wow. All right. Hey, thanks for calling. We appreciate you sharing your story.
Absolutely.
All right. Take care. Yeah. So don't, I learned something not to take my booze on the plane. At least not get caught with it, right?
There you go.
You can get fined.
Yeah.
Probably not very common, but they're saying it's a FAA regulation, but they don't really talk about it a lot. They're saying TSA never mentions it because it's not up to them. Alcohol consumption on an airplane is regulated by the FAA.
Okay. See, I first started kind of doing it, you know, because I know I can get them through, you know, the little bottles, but I would, you know, just have one before... You know, before I jump on a plane, if I have a drink, you know what I mean? Instead of spending the... It's all about saving a little money at the airport.
It's all about being Mr. Cheap. Yeah. You know, people at bars will tell you, bar owners will tell you that kids do that all the time now. It's a huge problem. People sneak booze into bars.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God.
Women do in their purse, yeah. And then they pour their mixing their own drink in the bar to save money.
Oh, wow.
This is another huge no-no that bars have run into. They're like, man, we could lose our liquor license, but it's all under the guise of... I'm just saving money, ma'am. I'm not trying to break said laws.
Yeah, Mr. Cheapo.
I'm just Mr. Cheapo over here. I'm sure your girlfriend finds it really sexy.
I know.
Now the airport drink.
I'm going to save $8 by bringing on my own bottle. She's like, you really?
The airport. I mean, it's expensive. It's more than $8 for a drink there. That's the reason why. But now I've learned. It's $10.
I can't believe that you're that guy. Camping in his own booze.
Would you really be surprised?
Come on. Yeah, are you that surprised?
Captain.
Not really.
Okay.
No.
Burger in a movie theater.
All right, 7:36. We got celebrity news
homemade
coming up.
Homemade burger.
Homemade burger.
The Big Party Show. Channel 94.1.
Colin Trevorrow? I know, exactly. Colin Trevorrow, he is the director of the next Star Wars installment. Actually, it'll be the final Star Wars installment, Star Wars Episode 9. Well, I guess he has parted ways from the Star Wars franchise. This is interesting. They're going through a lot of directors, I feel like, lately.
He's not the director.
Yeah, no longer the director, I should say. He was the director. Lucasfilm and Colin have mutually chosen to part ways. Right now we're all getting ready for episode 8, which is coming out in December, and that was directed by Rian Johnson. And then we had the previous one, which was The Force Awakens, and that was directed by J.J. Abrams. So everyone's like, well, I mean, what are we going to do now? Now, keep in mind that the Han Solo spinoff lost its director, and then Ron Howard stepped in.
What else had this Colin Trevorrow done? What did he do?
I saw, and then I'm trying to remember now what it was his resume. I mean, this wasn't like going to be his.
I see that he wrote the screenplay for Jurassic World.
Yes.
A lot of these guys now, it's kind of like the old Hollywood system. The director is just the guy who clocks in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very heavily run now by the producer. So it's not necessarily the director. J.J. sits back there, J.J. Abrams.
Okay.
Right.
And it's like, you're going to handle the daily minutiae of shooting this stuff, but I'm helming this
right
from the back row.
Okay.
And I think that's what you're seeing, that these guys, if they've got a difference of opinion. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was Colin's statement. We have all come to the conclusion that our visions for the project differ. So that's where they're like, yeah, you're out.
Yeah. He directed Jurassic World.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's a pretty big, I mean, so it wasn't
But
just...
I mean, look at his background. A lot of these guys are one and done. I mean, you'd mm-hmm. be like, so did you do a million movies before Jurassic World? And it's like a lot of them, you know, anymore, you don't, they kind of come out of left field. You're some kind of computer geek, special effects nerd.
They're like, great, here you go. So he is, there's no word on who's going to step in for him once, you know, I mean, obviously they've parted ways. No word on who's going to step in for him, but this is just another bump in the road for the Star Wars franchise. But we've got coming out in December, The Last Jedi, which is going to be, you know, have you guys seen any of the leaked?
I haven't seen any of it.
Stuff. I wonder how
it's cool.
I think there's a change in the guard of the fans. I mean, they had us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Remember these early redos were kind of a tribute to
us.
To our generation.
Yeah, you bet.
Trying to kind of guide your hand by going, here's Han Solo and some people.
Yeah.
And
just
then
bring
now
him
it's going to be the...
They're moving the...
The comics that really none of us know the plot other than Molly and her nerd friends.
Cool it. But Luke Skywalker will be back. You know, Princess Leia, Carrie Fisher, even though we've lost her, she is going to be in this next installment. They had already filmed all of her portions. It's going to be debuting or opening in theaters December 15th, The Last Jedi. A couple that has eluded going public, Jamie Foxx and Katie Holmes, they were spotted holding hands walking down the beach in Malibu, of all places. The TMZ is reporting that the two were out together. They're actually images. Took 4 years, but Hollywood's most top secret couple finally was out seen holding hands on Monday.
They look happy.
Yeah. Katie was seen with a ring on her finger back in March of 2016, but Jamie Foxx's people said it wasn't from him. So he has denied that they're even a thing. But I guess everybody else is like, yeah, it's obvious like you guys are together. But it's sort of interesting that they've been together for all of these years and yet Never Together. And speaking of Jamie Foxx, he is going to be one of the people, one of the celebrities that we will see when there's the Hurricane Harvey telethon. It's all set to air next week. It's called Hand in Hand, a benefit for Hurricane Harvey relief. It'll air September 12th. That's a Tuesday at 7 o'clock, and multiple U.S. networks airing from different locations, L.A., New York, and Nashville. And so it's a lot of big A-listers, George Clooney, Beyonce, Blake Shelton.
I'm thinking they're going to add Irma to that thing.
Yeah, save some money in the tank for Irma.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, Hurricane Irma's definitely shaping up to
That's
be something.
That's what I'm saying. This is when they rush these things out.
I know. You were saying it, too. How dare
you? Well, I mean,
you?
I guess they think they want to strike when the iron's hot, but...
Yeah, because we change our vision.
Everyone in Houston is saying, we're going to need help for a long time.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, this isn't going to be like a quick fix, and then we're done. The teardown, the recovery effort's going to be years and years in the making. It looks like radio is ready for Taylor Swift's return. Her new single, Look What You Made Me Do, leapt from 77th place to number one on the Hot 100 Billboard chart. So the song also broke the record for the most weekly streams, boasts the highest weekly streaming and sales totals of any single so far this year. And that unseats Despacito from the number one spot and becomes Swift's fifth Hot 100 chart topper. She's got a new song out now, just full steam ahead for her Reputation album to drop November 10th. That's when we get to finally hear more Taylor Swift. That is your celebrity news update on Omaha's number one hit music station, Channel 94.1.
All right, thanks, Molly. All right, 7:52. All right, your chance to get qualified for that Exit Omaha 85. That's sandals, 4 days, luxury included. You get to pick. All right, you got to get qualified, though. Before 9 o'clock, we'll get that done. Just listen for that sounder. It's a Jetaway getaway sounder. You'll know when you hear it. Just be calling number 9, okay?
We also have details later on this morning how you can meet Ed Sheeran.
Yes.
He's going to be here in town. How about a meet and greet?
You bet. Opportunities are coming at you.
It's the Big Party Show.
Broadcasting from the Eat Fit Go Studios. On Omaha's number one hit music station. Channel 94.1.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers. But you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.